Welcome, friends. Welcome again to the Gita Memoirs of a Psychiatrist. So happy to see all of you today. We are continuing with chapter 6, which is the chapter on meditation. And today we're going to be doing verse 29 through 32. And those verses, 29 through 32, give the real test of self-unfoldment. So what is the test? The test is, how good are you in those things? You can say, yes, I'm getting there, but you may not be. Lou, are you there?
I am. Good morning. Good, how Lou. Are we?
I'm good, Lou. How are you?
So this is the test of, again, give me that word again.
Self-unfoldment.
Self-unfoldment. Okay.
Right. So the verse 29 says, united to the self by yoga, he sees the self in all beings, and he sees all beings in the self with a capital S. Mm-hmm. And he sees the same everywhere. So the question is, when you say, you know, I'm really getting spiritually developed, the test is, how much feeling do you have for others? Seeing the Atman in all beings and all beings in the self. I think I gave this example in one of the previous early episodes. Lou, if I'm repeating myself more than once, just tell me, okay? But I think for those who may not have heard that, I want to tell this story. Soon after I started attending the lectures of Gautam Jain, and I was in my 40s or 50s, and at that time, I was dressed in a suit and a tie and shirt every day, walking up and down the corridors of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was always a very friendly person with most people. There was one maintenance guy who used to get always there with a bucket and a mop, and he used to be mopping the floors. He was always a very sulky looking, angry looking guy. Yeah, his face was such that he was always had a scowl and angry looking, and didn't seem to me like even the nurses, who were usually friendly towards everybody, were friendly with him. Nobody talked to him. He was always just such an angry looking man. And he would look at me and scowl like, you know, he couldn't stand me kind of thing. And that's the way he looked at everybody. So people sort of gave him a wide berth. And when I was learning, and in order to be spiritually advanced or to grow myself, I said, I've got to get to this feeling of the Atman is the same in everybody, in all beings, not just human beings, animals too, to love them, whether they're good-looking, bad-looking, insects, animals, human beings, etc. So one day as I was walking by him, I just smiled and I said, good morning. And he just gave me a sulky, surly look. Right. And every day, back and forth along the corridor as I was walking, I'd see him in different parts of the hospital. I would make it a point to keep more nice to him than I would be to somebody else.
Right.
And lo and behold, soon thereafter, he started being nice to me, started speaking nicely, because he'd never done anything to me. I'd never done anything to him.
Right.
And it's a long story, but I'm sure that I brought in quite a bit of happiness into his life, because I could see when I was coming down the corridor, he would beam. And then I think I told you this story that, you know, since his hands were always, this was even before Corona or COVID, he would put his elbow out and knock my elbow with his elbow as if to say hi. Mm-hmm. And everybody looked surprised that, you know, how come this doctor is friendly enough with this guy who's not friends with anybody as this guy putting his elbow out? But it used to make my day too, not just his. It was nice for me to see. And I tried that then, not just with him, but with a lot of people. Because all of us will find that there are people who just don't like you for no reason.
Sure.
And you don't like them for no reason. But if you try to go beyond this as you grow spiritually and you say, I see the Atman in all beings, beings now, not just human beings, and the beings in the self, you tend to grow spiritually. So each one of us identifies with either our body or our mind or our intellect. For those of us who identify with the body, everything is physical. Everything is sense-oriented. And anybody that caters to your physical body, makes you feel good, you like that person. Anybody that caters to your mind, your emotions, you like that person. Anybody that makes you feel like your reputation, your power, your fame, your knowledge, all of that is improved or enhanced or flattered by a person, then an intellectual person feels good about him. But we should tend to get away from that identification with the body, mind, and intellect, because that's really what is holding you back from getting spiritually advanced and becoming one in terms of becoming self-realized. So when somebody caters to our interests, somebody caters to our physical needs, our emotional needs, our intellectual needs, you tend to say, I like that person. He's very good. Other people don't like him or her, but you like. Why? Because he or she caters to your likes and dislikes.
Right.
The question is, when they stop catering to you, one day when they're not in such a good mood, do you still feel as good towards them? But as you gain more knowledge, right now what you're doing, as you're listening to this, as you're watching this Facebook podcast, as you gain knowledge, you will grow in knowledge. And as you grow in knowledge, you will grow spiritually. And as you grow spiritually, your preferential feeling towards the world goes away. So that's verse 29, which is the first of the verses where you essentially, this is a quality control of how spiritually enhanced are you. So verse 30 says, he who sees me everywhere and sees all in me, with a capital M, Krishna is referring to me as the self-realized being. He who sees me everywhere and sees all in me, I am not lost to him, nor is he lost to me. So a self-realized person sees good in everybody and everything. Could be an evil man, could be a good man. He sees good in everybody. He doesn't hold it against that person that he's a terrorist or doesn't flatter somebody who's a saint. He says, you have become this way for whatever your environment was that made you this way. And so I don't hold it against you, just like I'm not holding it against a lion or a tiger that the lion or tiger kills an innocent deer. And as an example, you know, at my stage of life now, I have grandchildren and I play with them and other little children. And as I'm playing, I see that there are some of these grandchildren who don't like to lose.
Right.
And they will lie and they will cheat and they will cry and they will manipulate in order to win. Now, you don't say, well, I don't like this child or this grandchild because of this quality of his or hers. You recognize that each one of us has our own. We're born with vasanas, certain desires, and the desire to win is a vasana, a desire within such a child. And those vasanas came from previous lives. You cannot change them. They are inherent in those people. You recognize. So you identify and you say, okay, this grandchild is this way. This grandchild is that way. You don't dislike. So a self-realized person has the same feeling towards all human beings as I would towards my grandchildren or any of you would have towards little children. You just let it pass. You don't say, I'm going to try and correct this. Well, you do, but right. you don't dislike the person. So each person acts according to their upbringing. How were they brought up? What their environment was when they were growing up, their situation, their education. And you would do the same if you were in their place.
Sure.
So the self-realized person recognizes that. And you who identify with your body, anything that gives you pleasure, you love. You've got to get beyond that. Anything, if you identify with your mind, you identify with people that you love, who care for you, friends, family. If you identify with your intellect, anybody that enhances your fame, your reputation, your power, you feel good towards. So taking it to an extreme, a person who is very intellectually oriented loves his country. So he's a patriot. And he then identifies with all his countrymen. So he just doesn't love few people, but he loves a huge amount of people. But he still doesn't like people from another country. And that's, again, he's not self-realized. He may be more spiritually developed. So verse 31 says, he who is established in oneness worships me, abiding in all beings, that yogi dwells in me, whatever be his mode of living. So this is a little complicated to understand, but a yogi sees the Atman in all. He therefore has love and respect for all living beings, animals, birds, plants, human beings, as if they were himself. It is like looking at yourself in a mirror. When you look at yourself in a mirror, you say, oh, that's me. Yeah. Look at my hair today. Look at my face today. I should do this. I should put makeup on my face, whatever. This refers to the actions of the yogi. Whatever his mode of living is what this refers to. And that means that whatever he does, his oblation, he oblates all his actions to Atman. Every action becomes a worship, a prayer, a dedication to God. When I was growing up and I would go to my cousin's homes, they would speak a Sanskrit or an Indian language, which I wasn't familiar with. They would speak in that. And before we ate, they would say a prayer, and all grains of their food, everything was first offered to God. And I learned from that. And that is a Sanskrit tradition, that everything you do, whether it's eating, prayer, everything is dedicated to God. So worship becomes subjective. It's always subjective, true worship, not objective. Means you go within yourself. The dreamer in this case becomes the waker, in the sense that you wake up from your dream. Mm-hmm. And once you've attained self-realization, what is your state? You're completely fulfilled. As Gautam Jain says in Sanskrit, paripurna, there is nothing that you need from the world. Whereas the rest of us, when we live, we work, we exist, you want more comfort, more food, more wealth, more clothes, more peace. But a paripurna wants nothing from the world. And whatever he does to help others, to serve. So that's what it means when it says, whatever be his mode of living, that yogi dwells in me. Wherever he goes, he is righteous. He never does anything wrong, even if the actions may end up being wrong. His intention is not to do wrong.
Right.
So such a person oblates all his actions towards the Atman. And if his actions end up being wrong, it is not held against him because he didn't do that on purpose. He wasn't doing it from a selfish reason. So the next one is verse 32. He who, through the likeness of the self, sees equality everywhere through joy and sorrow, he is considered a supreme yogi. So let's break this down into the first two words are he who, through the likeness of the self. He who means whoever. He is not nowhere in the Gita or the Upanishads, any of the Hindu scriptures, does it say that the person has to be of this. There's no such thing as religion, by the way, in the Gita or Upanishads. It doesn't say that anybody who practices this is a Hindu or not. That term Hindu came after the British came into it, being after the Muslims were crossing the Sindh River from the Middle East into India. And anybody that was part of the Sindh, since they didn't say Sir Sindh, they said Hind. So it became the Hindu from there. Hmm. But it wasn't a word from the Gita or the Upanishads. So they didn't say that you have to be a Hindu. There were no temples at that time. So they didn't say you have to go to a temple or you have to practice these scriptures or you have to pray to this one or that one, nothing. They just said, whoever respects the self within herself or himself is the Atman. So he who means whoever, the scriptures don't require you to belong or subscribe to anything. Then he says likeness. Likeness means the person who sees and recognizes the self, himself, in all beings, everybody. So everybody wants, and then he says equally everywhere, equality everywhere. Equality everywhere means everybody wants the same. Everybody here on earth, whether he be a terrorist or a saint, or whether he be from the Middle East or from India or from the United States or Africa, or Australia, anywhere. What do they want? They want peace for themselves and for their friends and family. And as they grow spiritually, they want peace everywhere. They want happiness for themselves, and it goes in concentric circles. First for themselves, then their immediate close ones, then their neighbors, then for their country. Peace, happiness, family, friends, etc. Then he says, through joy and sorrow. So he's saying, if you want to be a spiritual person that can meditate, don't forget, chapter 6 is all about meditation. So he's saying all of this is the prerequisites to become able to meditate. through joy and sorrow, meaning you used to like somebody because they catered to your needs. The thing is, when you, he or she who you liked does something that you don't like, rubs you the wrong way, do you still have the same feeling? So now you're no longer joyful. You're now angry at him because he hurt your feelings. Do you still have the same feelings of love towards this person? Or do you now hate him or dislike him? Do you have the same feelings in sorrow? So through joy and sorrow, he is considered a supreme yogi. So one of the supreme yogis that we know about is Jesus Christ, Buddha, and many others. But the names are not as familiar to most of us, most of you. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ we are familiar with. So Jesus Christ is a super yogi, and he's being crucified. Nails are being nailed through his hands into the cross. And what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He feels the same way towards these people who are nailing him to the cross, right, as he did before they were nailing him. He feels the same. He's a super yogi. So you should feel the same towards other people's children as you do towards your own. But we don't. We usually have preferential feelings towards our children and compared to others, our relatives, our friends. So let us stop there, and we'll continue next time with chapter 3 onwards. Verse 33 onwards. And this is will probably be bring us to the end of chapter 6, and then we'll move on to chapter 7.
Excellent.
Thank you, Lou.
Check the Gita Memoirs of a Psychiatrist on Facebook. If you're listening on an audio-only podcast, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the most popular ones, and some other outlets as well. And on the Facebook page, you can comment to us and message us, and we'd love to hear from you.